Dear friends of love for volleyball, amor por el voleibol, I'm pleased and honored today to talk with one of the most important volleyball players of Canada, Olympic player, with a great international experience. I mean Nicolas Hoch, who is currently with me talking about his volleyball life. Hello, Nicolas. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thanks for having me.
Fantastic. Tell me, please, Nicolas, to start this interview, why? I know why you start playing volleyball. Why did you start playing volleyball? Why you choose volleyball in a country where we all know that, for example, hockey, ice hockey is very important. But why did you start and when playing volleyball?
Well, actually, I started when I was in France. Glenn, my father was coaching Paris Volley back then.
Okay.
And why I started is because my whole family has been playing volleyball. So I was kind of born with the volleyball in my hand, and I just decided to keep going with that because I love the sport. So yeah, I started when I was 7 years old in France, in Paris.
Okay.
We lived there for 4 years, so I grew up with that. And then when we came back to Canada when I was 11 years old, I started playing a lot of other sports, football, American football,
Okay.
basketball. So I was actually really hesitant to play volleyball because I was really in love with American football at
Okay.
that point. But when I had to decide, it was I think just the family part that came in, and I was like, I'm just going to decide to play volleyball. So that's how I started.
Okay. In Canada, American football is a strong sport, like ice hockey, for example, or okay. It's a
Yeah. So I think it's the second biggest sport in Canada after ice hockey.
yeah. Okay.
Yes.
And when you start playing or you decide to keep on with volleyball, how was it for you as a young player to watch? Do you have, for example, some players to do you want to emulate or was inspiration for you? How was this part of your beginning career in volleyball?
Yeah, well, when I was in Paris, I watched players like Stéphane Antiga, Paul Durden, Kent Greaves, JD Novak.
Okay.
And then obviously when I was younger, I grew up to watch Jiba to play. For me, it was him that I watched as many games as I could of him, and he was a very big inspiration. And just when I was starting my professional career, when I was 19, I had the chance to play against him before he retired. So,
Amazing player. And you tell me that you started playing professional at 19. How was this decision for you? Because as I talked with other volleyball player of Canada, they told me that in Canada you don't have a professional league. How was it for you to make this decision?
Well, I talked about it with Glenn a lot, and he said, Nick, if you really want to focus on volleyball, he suggested to me to go professional right away, to accelerate kind of my experience overseas. So I decided not to go to university like most athletes do here, and I decided to go play pro right away. I had the chance to get a lot of good contacts. My first year in professionally was in Tours in France, which is a really, really amazing club. So I had the chance to go there for my first 2 years, and I don't regret my decision at all. Yeah, it's been a great career so far.
And how was this experience in France to begin your professional career in France? Was it easy? What is hard? As a player from Canada, how are you seen in Europe?
Well, Glenn suggested France to me because, well, first it was easy to transition there because I know the language. I speak French,
okay.
So it was very easy to live in France for me. And then, but yeah, the transition, the team was really good also. And it was one of the like greatest club in France. And also Glenn suggested me that to go to France because it's a very technical league. So to continue my development before I became a starter in any team, he said, you should go there and develop your skills and everything. So that was a big part of my progress as a volleyball player.
Oh, fantastic. Here in South America, in Chile especially, we always know about the Italian league, the Polish league, I don't know, but France is today a very mysterious league, because France, we know today that France has always been so fantastic in sport, especially in volleyball. The national team, men and female. How was it for you to play in this league and to grow as a player and after this be part of the national team of Canada?
I think the most important step I took in France is because every single game you have to play 100% to win, because every team can beat everyone.
Okay.
So obviously there's some teams that have a little bit higher budget, and but even those teams need to play the best they can against the 12th team in the league, because they're so good technically. So it was good for me to compete every game, and to see a lot of great players compete there. So it was yeah, it was great. It was a great experience, and it was a lot of important step for me in my career.
Okay. And the national team, how was this story for you? When did you start playing at the national team, and how was this experience until now for you?
I started playing national team when I was, I think my first year when I was 16 years old.
Okay.
And that was on the junior team, obviously. And I was very happy and very proud because that was one of my goals. That was my first goal before heading towards the senior team and obviously the Olympic dream and the world championships. So it was a slow start, but it was Norseca first and then world championships in 2000. I think it was 2011 or okay. 2010 as a junior team in Brazil. So yeah, those were great years for me. I was very stressed, but also very honored to contribute to this program. And yeah, I didn't want to stop until, I still don't want to stop. So it's still something I want to keep going.
Super. And today players can play for many more years. I interviewed, for example, some month ago, a Cuban player, Leonard Marshall. He's 42 now and still plays in Italy. It's amazing. What technology, what the training type of this aspect can help players today. In my time, we used so bad sports shoes. It was very different technology in this time. And I wanted to ask you now, Nicolas, for your experience in the national team, because today, thanks to technology, we are talking, for example, and we can watch a lot of games, especially the games of your national team in BNL, for example, or Olympic games. How was it for you to be part of many great Canadian teams with strong players, very tall players, and could play to confront Brazil, Cuba, Russia, the best teams in the world, and be almost there to win or to get a next step for you? How was it for you to be part or be part of this and maybe have the feeling you can do it better? How is it for you to be part of this process?
Well, it's an interesting process because I started to look at national teams, I think it was back in 2006 when Glenn was starting to coach, and I was always following the program and the progress in 2009 World Championships, and I saw them starting to beat stronger teams, and I that made me dream a little bit. I was like, I want to be part of this, and I want to make the program even better than it is. So I went I went through, when I started on the senior team, I started playing with Tone Langveld, Fred Winters, Gavin Schmidt obviously was there, Dan Lewis, which is still with the program to this day. And we saw the progress. Some guys are older, some guys are younger, but everybody comes together to make the program what it is today. And I think it's gone through a lot of changes, especially recently after Tokyo. A lot of older guys kind of stepped away, and which is normal. I mean, guys have different timelines. And now we're slowly rebuilding the program to try and get it back to where it was in 2016, 2020. And obviously competing against those big teams is, we were there competing 25, 23, like winning 3-1, 3-2, losing 3-2. So we were very highly respected, and we're a dangerous team. So we need to, now it's a younger group, so now we have to rebuild to kind of go back to that point, and hopefully we can get back in the top 10 in the world.
Absolutely. And I spoke with Julien, for example, with Paul Gratton, mm-hmm. player from the Los Angeles Olympic team in 1984, and I ask them, I make a thought about that in the 80s and the 70s, you could see different schools of volleyball, the Japanese school, mm-hmm. the Russian school mm-hmm. of volleyball, the Brazilian, I don't know. And today we see, except from Japan, who won the bronze and now in Biennale in Poland, that many teams play very similar. We can see, for example, Brazil plays similar that France, for example, or Russia, or I don't know, Germany. What do you think is missing your team of Canada to be part of the podium? I don't know. Do you think it's part of the training, part of the mentality, part of the school of Canada's volleyball? What do you think is still missing today? Even you have a great team, great players, great staff of trainers. What do you think is still missing?
So I think what changes a lot from Canada to the other countries is mm-hmm. other countries start playing pro when they're 16 years old. Mm-hmm. They have a lot of skills when they're very young. So I think this is what we're lacking a little bit. So we saw in our previous group, it was a more experienced group with a lot of experience through playing pro and playing for championships in pro. And I think that's something that we are lacking currently. We have a mix of the guys that are very young, even guys that are coming out of university and then are putting on the international scene right away. So that's going to take a few years, I think, to make those guys comfortable and consistent in those little skills that will make the difference when we have to go against Russia, against Brazil, against France. When we saw our game against Japan, we're there, but then we start missing certain skills or certain execution mistakes that Japan will never miss.
Yes.
And I think that's why Japan is so great today, is that their physicality went up, but the quality of their play just kept going the same. They don't miss anything, which is why I think Japan for me is my favorite team to watch play, because they're so good at everything they do.
It's fantastic. Also, it's a great inspiration for players like me. I'm under the meter 90, so it's a very inspiration to watch players in today's standard of height of the players to be and beat many great teams like Slovenia. I don't know, Italy. It's incredible. As you're telling me, it's so amazing to watch them play. They play, and also they play smiling, happy. Volleyball is a sport that make it so easy and so fantastic to watch. I wanted to ask you now, Nicolas, about your Olympic experience. You played in Rio. How was it for you to be part of this fantastic tournament?
Well, I went to two Olympics, Tokyo and Rio. Obviously, they're very two different experiences, because Tokyo was also very, very close, but Rio was the full experience. It was amazing. I mean, just in the village alone, outside of volleyball, we could see all these different athletes, different heights, different thickness, different. It was very impressive to be a part of it. But I went there to represent Canada, and obviously I was there to compete really hard. And I was very nervous. I was very, very nervous. My first Olympic experience, first time Canada goes to the Olympics in 24 years. So I really wanted to do my best. And I think we did pretty well. It was a little bit heartbreaking to lose against Russia in the quarterfinals. Mm. Same with Tokyo, actually. but again, we got out of group stage. It was I don't want to say I'm content. I obviously want to make it to the semifinals. I want to make it to the podium. But it was a unique experience. The level was very high. Everybody wants to medal at the Olympics. It's the top chain of the sports world. But it was such a fantastic experience. The Canadian delegation, the International Olympic Committee, did a great job. And obviously, it was a little bit more different in Tokyo, because there was no spectators and we couldn't leave the village. Mm-hmm. But I think in terms of volleyball only, I think Tokyo was probably the highest volleyball level I've ever been part of. So it was amazing to be part of it.
I understand what you're saying about to play in Brazil in the Maracanazinho Stadium, because it's like a temple for Brazil and for the world to play in this historical big stadium. And also I watched these games of your team and many other teams, and this Olympic game, it was so great to watch. not only because of the quality of the teams, also because of the TV transmission, to watch the replays. I think more and more we are as a spectator can watch more details of the game, of the players, of the action. Volleyball, it's fantastic. I think as I love volleyball, it's so great to be able to be part of this historic moment to watch volleyball via internet or and I wanted to ask you also about Tokyo, because Tokyo, as you tell me, was very strange of pandemic, of COVID, playing without a crowd is also very strange. But what do you think in difference of Rio was your preparation for this championship, or how do you think it affects maybe your motivation to play without crowd or without public in this so big tournament, so big championship?
Well, it's funny because I think most of the players were used to it when we went to Tokyo, because the year after or the year before Tokyo, I think most of the leagues didn't have crowds. So I think we got used to it before Tokyo. But for sure, it changes, because I went from playing in Rio against in front of 12,000 spectators against Brazil, which to this day is my best memory volleyball wise. Mm-hmm. It was such a wonderful experience to the gym being empty. But I think when you start playing and you hear the noise of the ball and like you're all into the volleyball, I think you're just so focused on the volleyball that obviously you don't hear it, but there's less energy maybe, but you still want to compete and win so bad that for me, it didn't change my motivation to win.
Absolutely. I did an interview to yesterday, I think, with an Argentinian young player, and he told me that to play against Japan, it's for him, it's so nice. But because he wanted to play again against the Japanese many, many times, because he told me that they're a very nice guy, very, very, yeah, very, very, very great players. They always smile. But he told me that he wanted to win against another teams like Russia, I don't know, Italy. It's more a fight. Do you have some rivals? Do you like to play or not?
I don't think we have. Well, obviously, I always want to win against the United States, because I think Canada and the USA is always it's a rivalry. But I think before we had good fights against Iran, and I'm saying fight, but it's sports.
I understand. So, it's a great team, Iran. Yes.
Yeah. So, but now we don't really have some. Fights, I think again, like playing against Japan is a lot of fun because they're very respectful and good players. But I think most of the time when we play, it's very friendly, but it's also very competitive.
Yes.
So yeah, everybody's very respectful, I find. There's not one team specifically I can think of other than the United States, but that's just because of the North American rivalry, I think.
Yes, I want to ask you now about your professional career. You told me you played in France. You also played in Italy, if I'm not wrong. How was this experience for you to be part of many great teams, to play against the best players of the world? How was it for you to be a professional sportsman, volleyball player?
I wouldn't change it for the world. I've had a wonderful job for the past 10 years, and I don't want to stop yet. But there's also some downsides. People think it's all this glamorous professional only, but I'm away from my family. I'm away from my friends a lot. It's difficult, but I wouldn't change it for the world. I love the sport and I love playing professionally. I've played in great clubs. Mm-hmm. I played in Perugia, I played with Leon, I played with the Checo, like wonderful people also. You made great, great acquaintances, which I think is a great part of it too. The club volleyball and international volleyball is very different. Mm-hmm. Because in Canada, I'm proud to be Canadian, to represent a country. When you're pro, you want to represent the club, but it's not as prideful, I think, which is normal. I think it's more of a job versus an honor. Mm-hmm. But it's great because you meet a lot of people and you play against so many great players. and you visit a lot of countries, and you yeah, I mean, I love the professional side of things as well, not just the national team.
Yes, this is very, very interesting what you're telling me, the part of the backstage of a professional volleyball player. We only see the games, we only see the crowd, but a professional player must train very hard, must travel, must, as you're saying, not see your family many, many months of the year. But for us, the volleyball lovers, it's so great to see so many great games, many championships. It's amazing. And your actually plans or your future plans to be part of professional teams. Do you have some new changes? Do you have some new projects, or you're still playing in Italy on Turkey? I don't know what you're doing now.
So I played in Izmir last year,
Okay.
and I'm going back to the same team. It's an amazing club, and I don't see myself leaving Izmir yet. If they want me back, I think I'm going to keep playing there. Turkey is also a good league. It's getting better and better every year, and it's also a great country to live in. Izmir is a very beautiful city on the water. Thankfully, my family is also there. My brother plays in Izmir as well in the second league.
Okay.
So I get to see him and his little baby and his wife also. So I get to spend a lot of time with them, thankfully. And then after that, I mean, I as long as my body allows me to play, I want to keep playing. I love the professional life. And then after my career, I don't really know yet. So we'll see.
Maybe you will be part of them as your father did. Maybe you will be a trainer. I don't know.
Yeah, I actually thought about that. It's still in my mind, and the older I get, and the more experience I'm trying to give to the young guys, the more I fall in love with coaching. So maybe that's an option.
Very interesting. And
Yeah.
I think it's a interesting life because, well, also my father was also a volleyball trainer. He plays in his youth in Chile and Germany, and after this he became my volleyball teacher, my volleyball coach, and many other players from Chile. So I always have volleyball in my life,
Good.
in my house, in the car, to road to school. So I understand what you're saying, and I wanted to ask you now about your opinion about the VNL. You played many of this VNL years, and how do you think your team can improve maybe for next year? How do you see you can get better in the qualification? How do it, is your opinion in general of the VNL?
I think we have the talent to win games. I think we could have won those games against Argentina, against Germany when we were at home, but we're lacking that consistency to play at a high level. Sometimes we'll go like this and then we'll fall a little bit, and it's hard for us to get back up. So if we can find that consistency, and I think that comes with experience,
Okay.
and also we have a new coach now. It'll take some time to be good with Thomas. But he's been really good. I think the guys are getting used to his philosophy of coaching, and I think we're going to get better. And now we have a good 6 weeks to train all together, and we're really motivated. And I think we really believe that we can qualify for Paris. It's going to be very difficult, but if we play, like as I said, consistently, I think we can win against those teams that we're going to play against in China at the end of the summer.
Okay, fantastic. And will we see you in Chile in the Pan American Games in October, or your team will? I don't know where. Right.
So I think that's when we go to China for the Olympic qualifier. So maybe it'll be the next generation team that will be there.
Okay.
So I think our qualifiers
It's
end of
a
September
little
till.
more important than the Pan American Games. I understand.
Yeah, unfortunately, I would love to, because I Pan Am Games I did in 2015, and they were a lot of fun. A lot of it's a wonderful event.
I understand it absolutely. And tell me, please, Nicholas, about your vision from modern volleyball. I say modern volleyball because I played in another volleyball. without Libros, without the green card, without anything, any of the new rules do you have to take? How is your opinion about the volleyball that you play today? Do you like it? Do you like it not? Do you think you need more improvements in rules? So what is your opinion about volleyball today?
Yeah, I actually like where volleyball is at now. I think with the challenge systems are really good. We saw it through Vinayl, even though it's a new technology, so there's some issues there, but that's normal in the first time. And it's fast paced. It's nice. You don't really have any long pauses, which I think for the players are nice. But sometimes the rallies at the end of the rallies, they try to accelerate too much, I think, before we go to serve. So sometimes we were supposed to have 15 seconds when the rally ends. They're supposed to send us to the service line, but I think that's a little too much, too speedy. That's just my only thing I struggle with. But again, I have to go with it. Otherwise, the actual volleyball that people play, I think, is wonderful now. You saw this in the past, I think, yeah, 5 years, you saw the speed of everything accelerating a little bit more. And everybody's just really good technically, even though the serves are really strong. You can see the receivers are receiving well no matter what.
It's incredible. I
And
don't know.
also a lot of
I don't know how you do it. Because in my time, you served. There were a few players who did jump serve. We used the tennis serve, and I don't know how do you be able to receive this likely an attack in serve. And you put the ball in the hand of the setter. It's amazing to watch.
Yeah.
I
And
don't know.
especially if you can see it live, it goes so fast. It's very
It's so
impressive.
fast, so powerful. I don't know how you. I understand you're professional players. You do this
Yes.
for your life. It's amazing to watch. But like an old player, like an amateur player, as a senior player, I always when I watch volleyball today. I think it's amazing how you can manage all these situations, the serve, the attack, the blocks. It's amazing.
So I think that's why the sport evolves all the time, because as soon as something new happens, the sport will adapt to this, and then so that's going to change the sport every 3 4 years. It's going to change. Now we see a lot of defense more in men. Before it was a lot of attack and serve. Now we see a lot of defense, and I think that's why Italy won the World Championship last year, is because their block defense was so great. Because and they would they were able to stop big teams like France, big teams like Brazil, like Poland. So I think that's where the volleyball is at now, is their block defense is incredibly strong.
Absolutely. And what is happening in Canada? Because today we see the male national team is making a great job, and also the female team is making a fantastic job in BNL. How is Canada watching the volleyball? Do you think volleyball can grow in attention in Canada, or it's impossible to play or fight against ice hockey or American soccer, as you're telling me?
Yeah, so that's the issue here, is that in North America, the big sports are basketball, American football, ice hockey, baseball also.
Baseball, yes.
There, and it's such a big, especially financially, it's such a huge thing here that it's very difficult. We're kind of in the shadow of all those sports. But we're seeing more Canadian players playing professionally earlier on. We have a few guys next year that are going pro and not going back to school. So there's a lot of exposure that are happening. So within the volleyball frame in Canada, I think we're going to get better and better. Obviously now we've lost a few veterans, but that's okay.
It's
In
normal.
the next 4 years, 4 8 years, it's going to get better and better. And hopefully I really want to be a part of it. I want to see the program succeed again. So hopefully I can stay around, whether it's as a player, as a coach, or a staff member. And on the women's side, you can see they're playing really well, and they're beating really strong teams. And I think that's now they're starting to play more and more together, and you can see there's a lot of it's very a very easy flowing game for them. So you can see they're getting very used to each other, and and they're doing really well. They're doing better than us, so.
And I wanted to ask you now. We talked about this a few minutes before, but I wanted to ask you about your most remembered championship. Because sometimes you play a good championship, a good tournament, but you don't win. but you feel that you played well, you feel strong. And do you have some championship, maybe besides the Olympic Games in Rio, for example, or Tokyo, that mm-hmm. you remember the most?
Well, my first tournament with the senior team in 2014 in Poland.
Okay.
That was my first world championship, and that's the first time I was actually playing a lot. And I think we lost to Germany 3-1, and if we beat Germany, we would have gone to the top six. And okay. I think that was kind of, we had a really good tournament. We were playing well against Brazil, Russia. We lost 3-2, but Bulgaria we beat. And that's where you see the team was starting to perform better and better. And I think that's the championship where I remember nobody knew me and I was stressed, but I was also getting confidence. So that was one of my favorite tournament that I played.
Fantastic, fantastic. And I want to thank you again, Nicolas, for your time, for your good motivation to speak with me. As I told you outside camera and the beginning of this interview, for me, it's a big honor to know you, to be able to speak with you, because what I'm doing, I've been doing this from Chile, very far in the south of the world. We love volleyball in Chile. We love, we have this Pan-American Games in October, beginning of November. Our teams are getting better, male and female, but we are so far from the big volleyball countries. But
yeah,
so for me to be able to speak with people of the world, especially in Canada today, I have, yeah, and more and more players from Canada in my list of interviews. For me, it's a great joy to do this. So I wanted to thank you again, Nicolas, and send you best wishes, many success in your next projects. Hopefully, we can watch you play in Chile sometimes. Or
that'd be great.
Hopefully, the Olympic Games in Paris. So I sent you a big hug and the best wishes from Chile. And I thank you again for your time to be able to speak with you.
Well, of course, it's a pleasure. I appreciate what you do especially for Chilean volleyball. And I'm sure it helps expose volleyball and players to the country. So I hope it gets better. And I hope that you guys are slowly going to get better and better. And hopefully see you in more competitions as well.
Fantastic. Many, many thanks.
Thank you.